You're listening to the Sports Community Podcast, the show dedicated to improving the lives of sports volunteers all around the world. Here's your host, Steve Pallas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Community Podcast. Today, I'm unbelievably excited to be interviewing Ebony Matthews. Ebony is a long-time administrator at the Beaconsfield Netball Club. She's been on the committee for nearly 15 years. She's been a president for three or four of those years at least. And she's now part of the Beaconsfield Life Members Group. Or she is a life member of the Beaconsfield Netball Club. And together, the life members have formed the Beaconsfield Life Members Group. The Beaconsfield Life Members Group are a group of life members like I've never seen in any other sports club that we've visited around Australia. They are amazing and they continue to do amazing work for their club, providing fundraising and social activities and support to the committee at the time. So as I said, no other club has a life members group like the Beaconsfield Netball Club that we've seen, but when you listen to Ebony's story, there's no reason why all clubs couldn't create a life members group like the Beaconsfield Netball Club. Now, before we get into the interview, I just wanted to say a special thank you to the sports community members, because it's only with the support of the sports community members that we're able to do incredible things like our podcast. So to you sports community members out there, thank you so much. If you enjoy the podcast and you enjoy what we do, then go to the website, sportscommunity.com.au, click on the members tab and just have a look at the membership information. We'd love for you to become a member of the sports community website, sports community podcast, and help us bring these incredible stories to our sports community. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Ebony Matthews.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. It's a pleasure.
Now, most sports clubs have life members, but very few, if any, that I've seen put their life members to work as hard as the Beaconsfield Netball Club. So tell us a little bit about the life members of Beaconsfield Netball Club and how do they come to be a working group of the club, almost still the club's hardest workers, really?
Yes, well, when you do receive life membership at Beaky, it's a mixed emotions of whether you're excited to be a life member or whether you're ready to go back into work. So they are a very active group. And I think, it starts back from Gwenny, who was our first life member. And she, she was still actively involved in the club the whole time when she was a life member. So she was always pottering around helping. And then the people that have been added since then have always still been around. But I'd say, it's probably really driven by the president, which is Heather. She just loves giving back to the club. So, part of her passion is to make sure that the club is still moving in a direction that Beaconsfield is proud of and supporting everybody in it. And, it's their highlight of the week going down and watching the young ones all the way through to A grade. So they just love being down there and being actively involved in it.
That's one of the key things. It's a two-way street and it creates a social connection to the club for the life members. But you mentioned Gwen. Now, Gwen's a very young, sprightly 80-year-old, would you say?
She's
80.
I'll go with that.
and so you've got, how many life members in the club have you got at the moment?
I think there's roughly around 11 or 12 of us at the moment. So we just added a couple of years ago. And I think there's a few people that are eligible sort of to jump on in another couple of years. And there's a few people in the club at the moment that are actually working towards becoming a life member. Like they're really passionate about joining the group. So I think that's cool.
Oh, yeah, and we'll definitely, that was in the extensive preparation to this this interview. That was certainly one of the things that I wanted to talk about is this group inspiring the next generation. But just to get a bit of a snapshot, so we've got 11 or 12 people in the group aging from young 80-plus-year-olds down to mid-30-year-olds. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. And the reality is, while many still live in the community, many don't, and yet they still find ways to contribute, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a couple of, I think everyone contributes in their own way. So they've got, you know, some people that are just down there every week, you know, showing their face in that aspect of it. And then we've got some people that jump on board with, you know, their organisational skills or coming along to our yearly tournament, or like everyone brings a different skill set, which is nice because it means you can sort of share the load across the year, and everyone's not pigeonholed every week into doing a certain thing. It's sort of a nice sharing of roles and responsibilities across the group for the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what's the kind of goal or objective? You know, why does the what's the purpose of the group for what you're doing, all this activity and I guess ultimately a lot of it's fundraising, which we'll talk about in a minute, but why do you do that still?
I think our thing that we come back to is, I suppose, giving back to the club. So the club has given us something different for all of us, but it's given us something throughout our life, and we would love to give back to it. Plus, you know, it's so big now. We've got 6 junior teams plus 4 senior teams plus our junior club sector, and it's just putting through so many, you know, girls and young boys through the netball program, and it always our focus is giving back to them. So always making sure that, you know, we're actively doing stuff that's going to benefit the people of the club, but also the players and especially the young kids. We have a focus of always trying to give back to them and helping, you know, foster their netball career as little youngsters. So, you know, it's always about giving back to the community and the club that has helped us in previous years as well.
Well, it's a significant way that you do that is obviously fundraising. So what are the... And you've got some really, really clever ways, I think, of fundraising that are not overly onerous once they got set up. So, what are some of the what are the fundraising kind of activities that the Life Members Group drive each year?
Yeah, so we sort of limit ourselves to 4 or 5. I think Heather would like
to 4 or 5.
Add in, I think Heather would like to add in many more, but she sort of gets involved with the netball club fundraising as well. But we do one, which is sort of like a mini tat, so people just pick their numbers, and you know, if they come up in the supplementaries throughout the season, they win a prize. So that's one that's relatively now, it's quite sought after. So everyone's numbers are already pre-picked for the year. So you sort of have to wait for somebody to not accept a number to get in. So everyone looks forward to that one.
So that's, and just to touch on that, I mean, that's pretty cool that it's so simple, isn't it? You know, you sell the Tats Lotto numbers for the year, it's drawn with the supplementary numbers. And they're like life member seats at the baseball. You know, you have to wait for someone to leave the club to be able to get it. But it's just reoccurring revenue every year with very little work, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's really simple. And, you sort of, I suppose, Heather just rings up and makes sure that you're committed for your number. And then everyone just waits for the supplementaries which gets announced on our Facebook page every week. So there's a little bit of banter around that. And some years it sort of shows some trends of what numbers get drawn out. So it's sort of... you know, there's a lot of fun and banter around who wins every week. So that's a good one.
Yep.
We also actually picked up one of the fundraising ideas off your website, actually, which has been so successful since we've started it, which is the tennis ball run. So basically we sell 500 balls and they go into the back of a tip truck. Everyone has their number, and basically the tip truck tips the balls out, and they run across the court, which we call our running of the balls, and the first 3 balls across the finish line are the winners. So everyone actually, we get a big crowd down there every time we're running that. So we usually run it on one of the last games of the season, and we get a big crowd, and everyone's yelling and screaming, and everyone wants to know what we're doing. And that's a really good one as well. So every year we sort of get a video of that and put it up on Facebook too. So That was a great suggestion that we found on your website. It's really easy once you've set it up, and makes a good amount of money for the club too.
Oh, and it is such an easy event, and it's not as hard or activity. It's not as hard as you would think to locate a tip truck or something to kind of push the balls out. And again, you created that annual sort of fundraiser, so people look forward to it.
Yeah.
They know it's coming, and they're excited. And they also it could be one of the only times that they might come down to the club for the year, is the running of the balls, which is a very clever branding of that fundraising event. But
we usually try and schedule at the same time as our mob match, which is run by the life members. Doesn't make any fundraising, but the men of Beaky sort of play their netball game, all the dads and the brothers and everything play their netball game on the same day. So it sort of creates a little bit of an end of year celebration.
I think there's another thing that I just wanted to really look into is that the life members really work hard. This life members group really works hard at celebrating the volunteers and the contributions. And I guess probably 7 or 8 years ago, they started the mob or the men of Beaky type recognition. And they, you know, I think part of it was a little bit of a piss take initially, where they put them in, you know, onto the netball court, and then all the netballers would just laugh at their dads and brothers and partners trying to play and learning the rules of this game that we are watching every week. But that recognition, and it can't be understated that is probably a significant contribution to building that significant volunteer base of the males, and to the point where your senior coach for the year is a male who's worked their way up through the grades over the years. So I think that's a really indicative of the culture of the club.
Yeah, and I think sometimes he gets more excited about the mob match than his own team, I think, because he's usually the captain of one team.
Yeah.
It's very competitive. And we've also actually had some years where we've played against, like, the girls' arch rivals. So, you know, Rock and Pakenham have sort of sometimes formed a bit of a mob team themselves.
Yeah.
And we've played against them. So, you know, where we've had our own sort of camaraderie in the years gone by, it's sort of fostered into the parents as well. And then, you know, it's just so fun and exciting to see the dads get out there and have a go. And, you know, some of them dress up and some of them have got no idea, but it just makes for a really fun afternoon. And then they have sort of their luncheon in the club rooms after, which is held by the life members as well, to just say thank you. For a lot of them are down there, you know, setting up, doing barbecue, just dropping them, doing, you know, the netball runs. And it's just nice to say thank you for, you know, supporting the club and you know, everything you do for the kids in netball as well. So that's a really great day.
Yeah, and the other thing that it does, it is also creates an environment where they can get to know each other and become friends and come down to the club, yes, to support their children or their partners, but they eventually start to enjoy it because they've got their own friendship group there and they actually enjoy the time at the club outside of the family reasons, which is just brilliant. And I love that inclusive angle that the life members had, and I think it's great that it's expanded out to include their closest rivals and their competitors. And I think that's a great opportunity, one for social connection, but two for fundraising as well. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's an awesome idea.
Yeah. So what other fundraising? So we've got the mini tats, we've got the tennis ball roll, we've got the mob match, which is not really a fundraiser, but social connection.
Yeah, could be. So that we also do our annual shopping spree. So that's always a good day. That's sort of after the season in October-ish. And we just keep having record numbers every year. So this year we had about 55 people jump on the bus and you head out and do just shop all day, really, and have some nice lunch. And that raises some good money
Sounds before horrendous.
Netball club. Yeah, and that was sort of started by Tina, which is one of our life members as well. So I cannot even tell you how many years it's been going, but I know we celebrated an anniversary not long ago. So, but it's definitely been going since before I was allowed to attend. So I was allowed to jump when I was 18, and it was going well before that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another one that we do each year.
And it's very clever the way they position that, because I think from memory it's in late October. And so a lot of people use that shopping spree, and it's an organised shopping tour that takes to the factory outlets around inner city Melbourne, from memory. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And the piece of that comes back to the club. So basically you just shop and then they give you a check at the end, which is nice.
Yeah, so it's really easy. It's social. Again, it's social, working on that social inclusion. And the thing that is really clever about the scheduling, because it's in late October, early November, that's starting to get into the Christmas shopping season. So people are actually buying, I've seen huge amounts of money spent on those trips because people are buying their shopping Christmas presents, which they would have always done anyway. And so they think they get good value, great social event, and the club gets good value as well. So that's
definitely,
that's really clever. And again, you get the same people coming, not necessarily coming back to all the same events, but you get different people coming back to the same event each year, which again is another great benefit of that traditional event.
Yeah, and we've also, like, it's just, you know, we also have people that, you know, have been part of, you know, Narre Warren and part of, you know, Turidan and Devon Meadows. So all other people from other clubs that we have associated with it on the years as well, they actually come on the shopping spree. So it's just, again, just showing how you can sort of have that inter-club friendship with people that you have met through over the years. And there's always that little bit of banter around, you know, Beaky and Narre and all that kind of stuff as well. So it's just nice to be able to just make lifelong friends through playing netball, really, by just, you know, having a little group that loves to go and have a chinwag, really, and meet new people.
Absolutely, and it's also a little bit nice to make money out of your opposition as well.
That's right, yeah. Everyone's always a bit shocked how much they spend at the chocolate shop.
All right, so the shopping spree, what else? I mean, most people would think that, you know, it wouldn't be unreasonable if the life members did just one event for the year, but so far we're up to four. And I think the biggest event that you do, actually, you haven't even mentioned yet.
Yeah, so we've got two major ones that we're doing this year on behalf of the life members for the club. So we're looking at sort of doing a colour run, which everyone's probably heard about before, but it's a whole club venture. So we're looking at really trying to bring all the clubs together, football, netball, etc., to do sort of like a big pre-season colour run. So that's in the process of getting sort of details and stuff organised now. And we also have our annual junior tournament, which is the big one that you're talking about, and that's sort of held in November-ish every year. And it's just basically an underage junior tournament where we get, you know, all teams from the local area to come on board, and they just have a whole day of just playing netball. And this year was, I suppose, a little bit even more rewarding. We added an all abilities sector in there as well. So we had about four teams playing in that competition too. So it's just a great day of everyone playing netball. The kids have a great day. You know, you've got face painters, you've got music happening. All the life members are down there, so you just run your canteen and everything like that. And it's just a great sort of celebration of all the little kids. And I suppose the All Abilities this year, which was a great success, to just, have a great day playing netball.
So when you say little kids, and this is the thought, this is what I thought was brilliant in a whole lot of angles. We're genuinely talking about little kids, aren't we? So we're under eights, under nines, under tens, under 11s, under 12s, that sort of group that's often missed in these sort of tournament type setups. And what would you say? It's been going 7 years now? 7 or 8?
I think so, yep. Yeah. Yes, yeah. It's been in for a while now, yep.
And one of the things about these type of events is they take a little bit of time to mature for people to turn them into part of what they would normally do. So I think from memory there was probably this year was four or five times more clubs than they had in the first season that they ran it. So can you remember the numbers of clubs or the teams that were entered in this one?
Oh, I think we had nearly around 50 clubs over the age groups.
Yes.
So I remember our first one sort of went from 8:30 to 11:30.
Yep.
And we used to think, well, that's busy. And this year we sort of started around 8 o'clock and finished around 2 or 3 just to sort of fit everybody in.
Yep.
So, yeah, each year we sort of try and cap it at an age group, but how do you say no to little kids that just want to play? So we sort of just keep, increasing the day. At some point we're going to have to stop, but everybody looks forward to it. Before we've even put our poster out, everyone's messaging and asking, what's the date of the tournament? They want to block it out. So we, it's become really successful and just a really great day.
Well, and if we think about that, again, looking at it from a fundraising point of view, 50 teams, give or take with coaches, et cetera, there's 10 people per team. So there's 500 people just in players coming to the venue, to your club. Then probably each kid's got, if we average that out at two supporters, but it's probably a little bit more. All of a sudden, you're rolling in 1,500 to 2,500 people over the day over the venue. So things like canteen and sausage sizzles become significant fundraisers, don't they, in that sort of crowd?
Yes. We had the canteen was just unbelievable this time. So we've never, every year we just order more food and every year we end up running down to the shop. But the canteen line was sort of this big waiting line that was like worming its way through the crowd. So it was just unbelievable. So everyone was sort of under the pump with that. And you can also encourage vendors, like we get every year, we get Dippin' Dots, which is just a little food van. And it costs you nothing to get them down. And they actually give you a percentage of their sales for the day. And we also do that for the coffee van as well. So effectively, you're just giving them the opportunity to make money. And they give you a bit of a kickback for the opportunity. So that's also another one that takes a bit of pressure. Like a coffee van takes a bit of pressure off the canteen. And they're getting really nice coffee. You're there all day. So it's sort of a bit of a thank you to the parents as well, that they've got good professional coffee available, and it sort of gives a kickback to the club with that as well. So that's a really easy way to bring in some extra cash.
Well, absolutely. And because when you've got a crowd that big, then it does make it worthwhile for the food van vendors. And they are just such a great option for this type of fundraising where there's an event where you're like drawing together a big crowd. It creates a great option for the crowd, but it also takes a significant amount of work off the volunteers. And that's really important, isn't it, in these massive events, or in these sort of big, large-scale events where you're kind of running a bit thin on volunteers?
Yeah, it does. And I find that people are getting more and more selective about their coffees. So to be able to not be a professional coffee maker and have that taken out of your hands and somebody else doing that for you is just such a nice thing to happen. And we've built relationships with also the food vendors as well. So they just booked in every year. They just know to mark out that date and come down every year. So it just adds a little bit of less pressure across the day and a bit of atmosphere as well, as you've got the food vans around the court too.
Yeah, and that's really important if you want to create a traditional annual event, is you've got to create a really great experience, isn't it? And that's why you're looking at the face painting and the music and the different opportunities. And I'm assuming, Eb, I wasn't there on the day, but I'm assuming that the All Abilities teams, when they played, they would have drawn an absolutely massive crowd, I'm assuming, to watch them play.
Yeah, they did. For their grand final, everyone was just, in awe of what they were able to do. And They had sort of like pretty much nearly the whole tournament around their court. And just the enjoyment like that they get from playing, just the pure enjoyment of being out on the court. Yeah, they loved it and everybody loved it as well. So we had, out of all the feedback we received, that was the number one thing that they just wanted to thank the life members for being so inclusive and offering that opportunity. And it was just, it just gave you that really feel good moment because they just loved it. So they all got a little certificate at the end and every sort of participant gets a little prize as well. So they were so stoked to get that at the end of the game as well.
Yeah, and that can't be underestimated, that there's so much talk about participation awards and, you know, this age of entitlement, but when the kids get them, it just means so much to them, doesn't it? And you see so many Facebook timelines full of the photos from the parents with the kids holding the certificate and the little gift that you gave them. It's huge, isn't it, that participation award?
Yeah, they really enjoy it. And I suppose it's a record of how many years you've played as well and a memory. So, you know, often they, when they pick up the certificate, it's a memory of what the day they've had. So, and their little gifts at the end, they think it's great. So usually it's some trinket of nail polish or hair ties or lip gloss or something like that, something minor. But their little faces when they get to choose which one they get, it's sort of like their highlight of their day. They couldn't care about the netball they've just played. They've got their own hair tie at the end. So, something that makes them smile and just a little give back to say thank you for participating in the tournament.
Well, and I think, I guess there's lessons throughout this whole discussion, Eb. And one of them is you've continually focused on the experience of the kids. Yeah, it was, you know, you did mention grand final, but most of the things that you've spoken about is creating a really cool experience for the kids. And I think that's been one of the driving forces of why it's grown so strongly over the last 4 or 5, 6, 7 years. So would that be a fair comment?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And when I got my life membership award, one of the things that, I had mentioned was that it just provided, the Netball Club provided me with just like a home, basically. So where I might have struggled to make friends at school, Netball Club was sort of my safe place and I had all my really great friends there. To the point where now I've been, you know, nearly 30 years later and I'm still really great friends with the people that I've played netball with. And it just provided me when I was younger, just that, you know, something that I didn't have anything before I joined the Netball Club, and it was just nice to go and play and have that camaraderie and friendship and have that safe space every week. And a lot of us in the life membership group have had different circumstances where it's helped us. And so we really want to be able to do that for everybody coming through. And, you know, we've just loved being part of the club and we just want that to continue, which means that we're sort of working a lot more still, but we just want to provide the same opportunities for everybody coming through because it's just such a wonderful opportunity to play at Beaky. And we want to keep fostering that for years to come. So we just love giving back to the club and just keeping our history going.
And you mentioned that there's people that are inspired to want to become a life member, and it's driving behaviour, and there's no doubt, having spent a little bit of time at the club, there's no doubt that the life members are by far and away an inspirational force for the next generation. People are, yes, they might aspire to be the best player in the competition or in the club, but they're absolutely inspired to want to become a life member. You see it in the youngest of kids. You see it in the, you know, the jazzmatic superstars who openly say that they, you know, want to one day become a life member. And that's just amazing.
Yeah. And I think it's because the life members have been so actively involved. So they're just really great role models to, you know, everyone. So you know, even before I was a life member, if any of the teams were in the final series, they used to all dress up, you know, sort of like Sharon Strzelecki style, and they all used to run out at training and do a life members cheer. And I think they've always done little things like that where they're getting involved and showing the way.
Whether people want them involved or not.
Yeah, well, correct. but, yeah, people have... You know, people really look up to them and they want to know, you know, there is obviously life member criteria, I guess, and they want to know what it is. And, you know, if they haven't done certain parts of it, it just encourages them to jump on board the committee or, you know, do some coaching or something like that, because it's just a really feel-good group. Like, there's no, you know, negativity or no anger or anything like that. It's just literally about having fun and making people's day and just, giving back. So it's just a really nice group to be part of, and I think people see that, and they know who they are. The club does a great job of celebrating the life members. Everyone knows who they are, so you know, when they're down there, everyone's like, oh, there's Heather, there's a life member, sort of thing. They go up and say hello. And yeah, I think it's just between the life members themselves and the fact that the actual netball club just appreciates and celebrates them so much, I think it's just a really nice thing that people just want to be part of.
So what do the... Obviously, the life members are raising substantial amounts of money. What do you do with that money? Do you just give it back to the club, or how do you manage that money?
So we do a fair bit of stuff, actually, and a lot of the, some of it is, you know, guided by where, you know, all of the different factors would like some money spent. But we also do a lot of local sponsorship as well. So, you know, we have sponsored a child, and at the moment we're looking at doing something more local rather than sort of overseas. But there is sort of that give back part of it as well, where we're, you know, hoping to support a child in need. We also sort of assist in any hardships that people may have over the years. So if, you know, someone might not be able to play because the family can't afford fees, that's something that we sort of help out with. We've once purchased some new shoes and sort of slipped that to one of the girls because they haven't been able to afford shoes and stuff like that. So we like to do some give back stuff like that. And last year we had a bit of a stumbling block with joining our groups together, and we finally worked all through that. And you know, the life members purchased a communal ball crate filled with new training balls that the club needs. So it's always sort of stuff that each sector needs. Both committees know that they can sort of come to the life members if they need anything and just request if they may assist with helping with that. Any facility upgrades. So this year we put in a new scoreboard that we won a grant for, which was awesome. So then we sort of went shares in that between the juniors, the seniors and the life members group. So there's lots of different things that the life members contribute to, but the main part is, yes, definitely fundraising to go back to the club and also the community with the fundraising or sponsoring of a child.
It is really cool, and I know that you've also helped get players in that were picked in Victorian teams and national teams that couldn't necessarily afford to travel, and you've helped there as well. It's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that no one would normally know about that the life members are supporting as well, which I just find amazing and inspiring for myself, which is why we're so keen to get you on to the podcast. I guess you've called it a life members group, so there's got to be some sort of structure. So you said that Heather's the president, and again, one of the most driving forces is, I don't think I've met a person in the world that can say no to Heather, but...
exactly.
What's the structure? Do you meet regularly? Like, how do you... I mean, we're talking about... Most clubs wouldn't do those five major or six major events, really, throughout the year, let alone... a group of 11 people that have given enough that they've qualified for life membership. So how do you structure that? How does the year work on that formal side or governance side, if you like?
So we still have a monthly meeting. So usually it's breakfast on a Sunday morning. So discussing all the hard topics over bacon and eggs. But we have a monthly meeting, still running exactly the same how you would run your normal meetings at a club. So still documented. The presidents from each of our sector are invited to attend if they want as well, and they sort of give an update too. Basically we have our actions from there. So it's sort of in conjunction with the BNC and the BJNC, which is our junior and Saturday sectors, and just running it throughout the whole season. So, yeah, it's still a monthly meeting with actions and everything like that, still reporting all the financials and ins and outs and all of that kind of thing. And then sort of the exec of the life members are available to liaise with the other sectors of our club. They're a great source of advice, I suppose, with the life members. Between us all, we've pretty much come up against most things that a club would face.
Yes.
So it's just nice to be able to have that pool of resource and knowledge that you can go to and be to ask, you know, some how you should handle this or how have you handled it in the past. So the exec play a key role in that as well.
Yeah, and unquestionably, and again, that's just another one of those, you know, behind the scenes that no one would ever recognise, that you've got this unbelievable experience, and again, your club over the journeys, moved competitions, and you know, had all these different experiences. That presidents and secretaries and executives of those, the junior and the senior club, as they're coming into their roles, the fact that they've got this huge non-interfering group that is acting like such a support mechanism. They can go to them when they want. They can seek advice when they want. In my observation, it rarely goes the other way. I don't think I've ever seen the life members kind of really actively driving the direction of the club once as a group. They're just there to support the committee and the people in those roles. And I think that's a huge benefit to the club and the committee, I would think. And I'm assuming, Eben, you've had 15 years on the committee and kind of in recent times as president. That was a tremendous support to you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was just to be able to just ring any one of them and be like, oh, we're facing this, you know, have you had that in the past, you know, how can we do this, or you know, can we get your support through this? So obviously as well, because they've built such great relationships over the years too, if you're ever struggling with something, or you know, the committee feels under fire or something like that, you know, which can happen over time, the life members backing and support can just be unbelievable. So you know, and they're very good at that. They sort of are strong in their opinion and also come out and support and actively get involved, so that they don't sort of sit behind and go, oh, you should be doing this or doing that. They're down there and they're doing things, and you can always rely on, you know, things are going to go well and they're not going to fail because you just know they're going to be there.
Yeah.
Which is nice backing to have. I don't know what it would be like if we didn't have that active life members group. It is hard to think about clubs that don't have that set up, because it's such an amazing advantage that we have, you know, and we can change a full committee over at the end of the year and know that it's still going to be, I suppose, able to run smoothly because they're going to have that, you know, help from the life members, help and support through them. So it's just an amazing thing to have.
Well, it's unbelievable to watch from a distance. And I think just going back to that monthly meeting over breakfast and inviting those, the, you know, the president or the exec from each of the different parts of the club, just that constant exchange of information in that semi-formal environment is a tremendous support. I mean, it sounds like a social event, but it's not. It's the next committee building relationships, or it's not just a social event. It's the next committee building relationships with the past, if you like, and getting that support. Yeah. And it's really, important that way. And it keeps both parties informed of what they're doing and why they're doing it, and everyone's on the same page always.
Yep. And it just sort of flows everyone's calendar into one.
Yes.
You know, it's a logistical nightmare down there sometimes, like with the amount of teams that, you know, you're sort of looking at 50 to 60 teams each week running through there. So it's nice to have that check-in to make sure we're all on the same page and we're really working as a full unit now, which is, it's lovely to be able to sort of plan your calendar for the year and everybody's actively contributing and supporting. So, you know, if there's a junior event, you know, people are down there supporting that and vice versa. So,
yeah,
just the check-ins at the meeting are just lovely. And often the clubs might come in, you know, the presidents might come in with just some questions even. And then you've got the whole life members group there to just be able to say, oh, yeah, well, have you tried this or have you tried that? And I suppose they're teaching the life members about technology as well, which is also a laugh. So they're trying to get up with the times with, believe it or not, internet banking. So, yeah, it's just nice. Everyone's sort of helping each other. So it's just really lovely.
It's amazing to watch, and I think it's one of the driving forces behind the success the Beaconsfield Netball Club's had over a 20-year period. So, Ebony Matthews, thank you so much for coming onto the Sports Community Podcast and taking us behind the scenes of what is, to me, one of the most amazing groups in Australian community sports. So thank you so much for giving us your time today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ebony Matthews, the life member of the Beaconsfield Netball Club, as much as I did. There were so many takeaways in that interview. And as it's going, I was thinking of more and more questions that we could have asked. But the session was already going so long, so we had to stop it there. But When I look back at what Ebony was saying in that interview, one of the things that she said was she just couldn't imagine life at the Netball Club without the Life Members Group. That Life Members Group just does so many amazing things. That's why we had to get them on to tell you about it. But the reality is, I really don't know of another club where you've got a Life Members Group as active, as structured, as productive as the Beaconsfield Life Members Group. So if you're at a club with life members, then how do we, the real takeaway from this session is that they want to continue to be involved, not necessarily on the day-to-day, but they're getting so much value out of that life members group that it continues to draw them back year on year on year and still being both a really positive contributors to the club, but the club's still being really, really valuable to the life members. From a fundraising perspective, there was a lot of things we can learn about that, because when we look at the structure of the events that they did and the types of events that they did, very, very, very clever. So the mini tats, again, we do it every year. People keep the same numbers every year. So effectively, all they've got to do is just kind of organize it and remind the people, ask them to come back. So easy, simple, year on year. So a little bit of admin there. The tennis ball run, 500 tennis balls in a truck, run across the court, brilliant. Again, traditional event, brings people back to the club, so brings a group every year back to the club. People get, they know they want to buy a tennis ball because, you know, they want to buy a tennis ball for their kids and they have a lot of fun. But again, a simple event to run, year on year, traditional. People just come back. They come back to the event. They buy their balls year on year. So there's not a lot of real work in that event. The Men of Beaky match, really important, because it's not just about fundraising, but inclusion. Really important part of what the life members are about, creating a great club experience for everybody. Shopping spree, literally another one of those traditional events held at the perfect time of the year that maximizes the spending of a group, where groups of people will come back year on year on year. So effectively, to organize that, they make one call to the shopping tour, or they book it in for the same weekend every year. So not much work there. And then all they got to do is sell the seats on the bus. But because it's been going for 20 odd years, people just come back year on year on year. So again, not a lot of work, but huge returns for the Life Members Group. Colour Run, I thought was really interesting, and I really would like to have explored that more because they're just starting the Colour Run, but one of the key things was of that was they're expanding the groups within it. So the Masters football, the junior football, the senior football, plus the netball club, all coming together to create this really significant event. What's clever about a Colour Run is when we're talking about football and netball clubs and they're going to run it in the pre-season, is that those types of clubs are doing running anyway. So they're just building it into their pre-season training routine, getting a really good participation from what they're already normally doing at that time of the year, and then they'll get other people to enter. And I'm sure that will become an annual event that's relatively easy for them to put together. And the annual junior tournament, which makes significant amounts of money, again, they've got the format down pat, they've got the processes down pat, they've got the people that will just come back, the food trucks, the coffee machine, the coffee van, the face painters, the teams are all coming back. So again, they've got that into that traditional routine. So incredibly clever, and they use this concept of tradition in fundraising. And they really recognise that people are creatures of habit, and if you can create a great experience, then that will keep them coming back year on year on year from a fundraising perspective. I liked as much as Ebony talked about fundraising, she also talked about social inclusion. She talked about welfare. She talked about kids having fun. And that's what drives them unquestionably, people having fun, people being included in their club. And I think really that's one of the key things that make the Life Members Club such a powerful group of people, is they're not looking to influence, they're looking to include. And I think that's just amazing. Couple of really important takeaways, though, that the Life Members Group, while it is an informal group of Life members, they have a formal way of processing or operating. So they have formal meetings, they take the minutes, they run the financials, they have that monthly meeting. That monthly meeting over breakfast, it is very much a social event, but it also creates that opportunity for the linkage between the Life members and the current committees of the netball club. So everyone staying on the same page, working together, Life members giving information when requested, and the current committee of the club pushing information back to the Life members and pointing out areas or inviting them to help. So unbelievably powerful club, driven by this unbelievably effective group that just continues year on year to work on behalf of the members. So I really love that story, and I hope you could take some things out of it and take away to your club. And so that brings us to the end of yet another podcast, our podcast number 4 for the year. So if you want to go and have a look at the show notes for this podcast, go to our website, sportscommunity.com.au/podcasts/2020-04. That's where you'll find the show notes. We'll put the links to any of the things that Ebony's spoken about, particularly the tennis ball run. And before we go, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to the sports community members, because without the sports community members, we just would not be able to bring these brilliant stories to you. So if you're enjoying the podcast, have a look at the membership, sports community membership on our website, sportscommunity.com.au. You'll see a big banner there for members. Click on it. We'd love to have you as a member, and you'll get lots of great resources, lots of great information, but you'll also be making all of this great information on the podcast available, and that's the only way we can do things. So I thank you for your support, and I really look forward to next week. So until then, I'm Steve Pallas, and thank you for being part of our sports community.